No surprise to you whatsoever, because that's what we're here for, with this very big pool here which we filled last night. And Adrian is convinced that although I put the heater in, it's like a big element for a kettle. Adrian's convinced that although I put it in last night, I didn't actually switch it on. But I did, Adrian. It's just not very effective. Sorry about that. But it has taken the chill off it somewhat. But it is an exciting day for us today, because it is about individuals who have encountered God in a life-changing way, and they will tell their stories and make a public stand for their Christian faith. It's not an easy thing to do, standing up in front of all of you. So when they do come to tell their stories, remember to smile and nod a lot. I know it's not very British, but really it does help the people who are standing up here. If you smile and nod a lot, to say, yeah, do you know what? Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Baptism is from the Greek word baptizo, which means dip, plunge, or immerse. It also means, which is slightly more worrying for our candidates, so close your ears at this point, sink, overwhelm, or go under. which is true, because we have got quite a big pool here. I hope you're impressed by the size of the pool. And we'll make sure that we get every inch of you wet this morning. The usual form of baptism among the earliest Christians was for the naked candidate to be immersed totally or partially, standing or kneeling in the water, while water was poured over him or her. And that's a tradition we like to follow here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It'll all be very decent. People will be keeping their clothes on. In fact, I do give quite clear directions about types of clothes to wear. You know, because certain clothes, they get wet and they can be a bit revealing. So we make all that clear in the leaflet about what to wear, what will be decent when you come up out of the water, as well as when you go under the water. But we have tried to go back to basics here. Simply, an explanation of what baptism is all about and a celebration of new life lived with God. Continuing, I hope, into the lovely spring afternoon. We don't have a lot of, we'll have a little bit of liturgy, just so that you remember we're Anglican here, but we won't have a lot of liturgy, because we can get lost in the words of that. One of the Bible pictures that that we love to use here about becoming a Christian is found in Revelation 3:20, and it's a verse that we look at on the Alpha course quite a lot. And Jesus is speaking here. He says, look, I stand at the door of your life. Well, it doesn't say the door of your life, but it says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And that picture up on the screen there was painted by a famous artist called Holman Hunt. And one day he was exhibiting this particular piece of artwork, and some clever Trevor in the audience said to him, but Holman, you've made a mistake. There's no handle on the door. But Holman, not to worry, he had it covered. He said, no, that's not a mistake. That's deliberate. There's only a handle on the inside. And what this picture depicts is two things, really. Jesus, the light of the world, so he's carrying the lantern. But also, Jesus, who stands at the door of any individual's life, and he knocks. He's trying to get our attention. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, in Middle Eastern culture, they placed a high value on eating together, on meals together. This was a big thing. Jesus was really saying, look, I want to come and do life with you. Will you let me in? I want to come and do life with you. But that, there's only a handle on the inside of the door. So it's up to you. It's your choice as to whether you open the door of your life and let me in. I won't push my way in. I will stand outside and continue to knock. And there may be many times during the course of your life where there's perhaps a sense of God trying to get your attention, knocking at the door of your life. And he wants to come and do life with us. Many of us are done with doing life on our own. It hasn't always gone so well. Just remembered I've forgotten something. And so we've got to that point where we thought, actually, we will take up that offer to do life with God. We haven't made good choices all the way. We do have an endless ability to implode. We do have an endless ability to blow up. Life hasn't gone well. I've made poor choices along the way. Perhaps if I do open the door of my life and welcome Jesus in, it will go better for me. And indeed, that would be the experience of the candidates here today. Jesus, God in human form, says, let me help you. Let me do life with you. It'll work out so much better for you. And he makes that request to each and every one of us, everyone here today, and everyone out there going about their business today in Gloucester. He makes that invitation. And he says, open the door, let me in. Will you let him show you what a difference he can make? I'm going to give you an opportunity, as we do often in this church, to take that step simply by echoing a prayer that I'm going to pray in a moment. And this prayer, if you mean it, is effectively opening the door of your life and welcoming Jesus in, who is knocking and saying, will you let me in? By praying this prayer, you're welcoming him in. Glad I wasn't saying that after a glass of red wine. Not easy to say. So here's an opportunity for you to do that. Do you know, I remember when I prayed a prayer like this out of a single parent household, non-Christian household, when I was age 10. That was a few years ago now. And I never regret that. I never regret that decision. I never went back on it. It changed my life. It changed the course of my destiny forever. I know where I'm going. So can we all just close our eyes? I ask that we do this, even if you don't want to pray this prayer, just so that for those who would like it to be, it can be a moment of privacy between you and between God. And if you want to echo this prayer and effectively open the door of your life and invite Jesus in, then echo this prayer now. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And just mention in the quiet of your heart anything that really is weighing you down. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive those gifts. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. Indicate to me if you prayed that prayer for the first time today. Just put a hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to speak to you and pray with you afterwards. You've made an important and decisive step today. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Just unless you've nodded off, in which case, just keep sleeping. You've made an important and decisive step in your life today, and we want to support you and encourage you in that faith journey as you step out. Baptism celebrates a new start to life. Life lived with God instead of without God. Baptism symbolizes a number of things, and I just want to look at these quite quickly. The first one is getting clean. Not that one. It's that one. That's the first one I want to do. I'll go back to the other one. It's about getting clean. The Apostle Paul, do you remember Paul, who was Saul but became Paul? He had the Damascus Road experience. So if you've heard the turn of phrase, Damascus Road experience, radical sort of, you know, turnaround or realization of something, well, this is based on the story of Saul, who became Paul and who wrote a lot of the New Testament. And he explains what happened after he encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was heading to Damascus in Palestine, and he said this, "My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light, when Jesus appeared to him, had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then Ananias said, 'God has chosen you, Saul. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name, calling on God's name, washing your sins away. Baptism is about getting clean. Symbolically, we wash away the wrongdoing of our old life so that we are clean. The stain, the guilt, the shame are washed away. You would be surprised, maybe you wouldn't. I'm constantly surprised at the guilt and the shame that people carry in life that weighs them down. I've seen it physically affect people so that they're cowed or stooped by the shame that they carry from stuff that's gone on previously in their life. And it's such a joy to see them receive the forgiveness of God, and their stature literally changes as they become more upright. They can look out at the world with confidence, knowing, I am forgiven. I am forgiven and cleansed. There's a lady who tells of being prayed for on an Alpha course. It wasn't in our church, it was in another church. And she said this, her name was Brenda. When they prayed for me, it was the first time I'd ever been prayed for. As they prayed, I felt such a weight being taken off my shoulders, and I felt like crying with happiness. My guilt was going, and I was thinking, it wasn't my fault. God is telling me, it's not my fault. I felt so good about myself, which I hadn't felt for a long, long time. It was amazing. God wants to forgive you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to lift off the guilt and shame on your life and set you free to live free, guiltless lives. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says, forget the former things, the things that have gone before. Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. You are not defined by your past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Friends, listen, you are not defined by your past. Give me an amen. Amen. Thank you. I know we're not Pentecostal here, but I just needed that. You are not defined by your past. From the moment that God forgives you, it's all about the present and the future. The past is in the past, and that's where God leaves it, and you need to as well. Going back to that picture of burial, the New Testament writer Paul, again, he says this, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. What Paul says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. It's Romans 6. This is where the symbolism of immersion is so powerful. When our candidates, in due course, are lowered into the water, they are dying to their old life. They're burying it. They're dying to the old life lived alone. That's what they're doing when they're lowered into the water. They're dying to that old life. It's gone. They bury it. And then, it doesn't stop there, of course. After a couple of minutes under the water, depending on how Basil and Adrian are feeling and how charitable they are, we usually say in this church, actually, that the longer your testimony, the longer we hold you under. So keep it short. Keep it short. And then we'll not hold you under for too long. Now, I'm joking. If you've got a phobia of water, that wasn't helpful, was it? I am joking. Well, I was. I don't know about Adrian and Basil, but you rise up out of the water, signifying rising to new life in Christ. The old life is buried, and it's like you come to new birth, new life. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Yes, that was the verse I read just now, burial. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives in Jesus Christ. We can share his risen life, which is all about living lives in relationship with God, our Creator, that are free, purposeful, and joyful. I've got to just tell you another story from the Alpha weekend last weekend. It was a great weekend. Who was there? I was there. It was amazing. Have a look around. Look how many people were there. Just keep your hands up a minute. We had such a great weekend down at Whitminster on the Sharpness Canal. It was an amazing weekend. There was one lady who was there, and just during the course of the first 6 or 7 weeks on Alpha, she presents as quite a serious lady, quite an intense lady. And I think probably part of that was that she was weighed down by life, really. On the Alpha weekend away, during the afternoon session, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Boy, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she was laughing her head off. It was just such a joy to see. In fact, she had such an infectious giggle. I'll tell you what it was that triggered her off. It was the most silly thing, really. The person who was praying with her was shorter than her. She was not particularly tall. And the lady who was praying with her was shorter than her. And as this lady came to pray with her, she said, "My, you are short, aren't you?" And got the giggles. And she couldn't stop. And she had one of these infectious giggles that made everybody around her giggle. And she giggled and giggled and giggled. Eventually, she had to sit down on a chair. She was aching so much. And I'd never seen her smile, never mind giggle, this lady. And it was just a joy to see. And she was just released. Make room for these lovely people. Welcome. It's good to have you with us. Glad you've got your costas. I'm sorry you didn't bring me one. Richard usually does that. It was just a joy to see. She was released in joy. And you know what? You know, it says in the Bible, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it was just lovely to see her. Her whole demeanor changed. And she said to me after the session, she said, "For me, there's no going back." She encountered the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And she said, "For me, there's no going back." This is a lady in her late 50s, I would say. So we want to share Christ's risen life that is free, purposeful, joyful. And coming up out of the water symbolizes resurrection, new life. In Titus, the book of Titus, it says this: "When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Because of his mercy. Giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. The old has gone." And what happens next? The new has come. And what is that? Look, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There isn't sort of some kind of minor modification. You are a new creation. Your nature is changed. When God looks at you, he sees a saint who is sometimes prone to sin, whereas before you were a sinner, sometimes prone to do good things, to act in a saintly way. Your whole nature has changed in Christ. Your whole nature has changed. You are a saint, occasionally prone to sin. That is the change that takes place when we're in Christ. We are a new creation. And when we open the door of our lives to Jesus, using that picture from Revelation 3:20, he comes to live in us by his Spirit. Now, this is really important. It's all important, but this is important too. The Holy Spirit comes in, the Spirit of Jesus, referred to as various things in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, he comes in. If you prayed that prayer just now, the Holy Spirit, and you meant it, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, to take up residence in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes to take up residence in you. Now, get this. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes in? He brings your spirit alive. You are no longer spiritually dead. Until that moment, you are spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. You are only half alive. You're physically alive, but spiritually dead. Sorry to break that news to you, if that's right for you. When you open the door of your life and he comes in by his spirit brings your spirit alive, and they commune together, his spirit with your spirit, so that you are fully alive, physically and spiritually. And it's the spirit part of you that lives on forever, so that when they lay your body in the ground, part of my job, I lay bodies in the ground, when I know that they died in Christ, I know that they're more alive than ever. Really. Because it's the spirit that lives on. Because when you open the door of your life and the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings your spirit alive. And it's that part of you that lives forever. That's why Jesus said, in order to enter God's kingdom, to his world, where he rules and reigns, you must be born again. You must be born again. What did he mean? Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to see him at night, couldn't get his head around this. He was a religious scholar, but he didn't understand it. Jesus said, no, of course, you lemon. You don't get into your mother's womb again. That's my paraphrase. That's not what happens. We're not talking about physical rebirth. We're talking about spiritual birth. You were born once of your mother, physically, but you need to be born again spiritually. Essential. You need to be born again in order to get into God's kingdom. And rising up out of the water symbolizes that new life, that born again life, now lived with God. Right, last one, badge. Later I will say these words, if I remember, please Adrian remind me if I forget, to our baptism candidates. God has received you by baptism into his church. This is a good bit of Church of England liturgy, can I just say, if the bishop's listening. We then say together, we welcome you into the Lord's family. We are members together of the body of Christ. We are children of the same heavenly Father. We are inheritors together of the kingdom of God. We welcome you. That's what we will be saying later to the baptism candidates. We welcome you into the family of God. The Jews practiced baptism for Gentiles, non-Jews, who embraced Judaism. So they became proselytes. They were Gentile, non-Jew, converts to Judaism. And they would baptize them into the Jewish faith. And it was done to signify that they left behind the worship of pagan gods and embraced their new faith, Judaism. Baptism is a badge of membership, signifying that you belong to God's family. It says, I belong to this family, the family of faith, the family of God. And I know that at least one of our candidates, for him, actually two of them, for them, what has been significant has been that sense of belonging to a family. And one of them said to me, for the first time in my life, I feel like I belong. I feel like that's what God's family should be like, that we belong. Actually, that we're there for one another as part of God's family. So there it is. Baptism symbolizes all those things, a bath, a burial, a birth, and a badge. In view of all that, today is a significant moment for our candidates on their faith journey. And we're going to hear from them quite soon, not just yet, but quite soon. Now, it may be that you're thinking, I really should get in here. Maybe God's been speaking to you this morning that you should get in here. When the bishop who's just leaving, Bishop Martin, was last here, we thought we had two candidates that morning. And just as I made that announcement that I've just made just then, two other people said, no, we think we should get in too. And the bishop looked at me rather nervously and said, is that all right? I thought, well, you're the bishop. But I think what he meant was, you know, is this appropriate? And I said, yeah, one of them's the worship director and one belongs to a church family, so that's absolutely fine. And so we ended up baptizing four people that morning. Now, it may be that you're beginning to think, well, actually, I need to get in. I need to get baptized or affirm my baptism vows. We do one of two things here. Either we baptize you for the first time, or we affirm your baptism vows made on your behalf when you were small and perhaps knew nothing about it. We don't re-baptize here, but we affirm baptism vows using the symbolism of water immersion. That's what we'll be doing this morning. But if you're thinking that if you sense God is giving you a nudge, that you've got to get in, don't worry about clothes, towels, all that kind of, that can all be taken care of. Honestly, don't worry about makeup, that can all be taken care of as well. It may be that you feel that you've got to renew your baptism vows or get baptized this morning. If that is the case, come and speak to me as we return to worship, which we're going to do right now. We're going to return to worship, and as we do that, our baptism candidates are going to get ready, and Basil and Adrian are going to get ready to take the plunge. So why don't we stand, and we're going to return to worship. And we're going to take the offering as we sing these two songs. The offering basket will be passed around. If you're a member of the church and would like to give to the work of the church here, thank you so much. If you're a visitor here, just let the basket pass you by.